You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We are constantly surrounded by the message that mom life is the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it can be hard and full of lots of showing up for others, the idea that being a mom means living a joyless life, a stale or shit show kind of life all the time, is something I am passionate about putting a stop to. My name is Ali Casaza, and I'm about to make your life so much lighter. You are listening to The Purpose Show. A quick note, because it is so important to me that I am able to authentically be myself and speak the way that I normally speak here on my podcast, not sugarcoat or be vanilla or wear a different mask when I'm talking to you guys here. You'll find the occasional curse word on my show. So if that bothers you, if it's not something you want your kids to hear, grab your headphones, girl. The Purpose Show podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other awesome shows like this one. Friends, I am so excited to finally say that the Declutter Like a Mother Planner is officially here and launched and available for purchase. I am literally so freaking excited about this. This is the official Declutter Like a Mother Planner. I have always wanted to make a planner because I am a planner girl myself, and I have never really found like the perfect planner. So I created it. Basically, this is an undated planner because I hate when there's like month and year already assigned to it. Like, you don't know when I'm going to start using my planner. Get off my back. This is undated, so you can start and use it whenever you want. There's weekly and monthly and daily planning within the planner. So it's everything that you need. Also, there is space for gratitude or affirmations. There's space for you to write notes to yourself, space for you to keep this a very positive, high vibe space for yourself. And there is exclusive content from me that's designed to help you be actively decluttering your space and your life, and keeping yourself on track with living a simplified, abundant life and doing everything we talk about here on the podcast and in my books and in my corner of the internet. So this is the official planner from me. Go get it. You can get it anywhere books are sold: Target, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, your favorite indie bookstore, or online indie store, literally anywhere. Go get it. I am so excited. The Declutter Like a Mother Planner. Make sure you tag me, and I want to see that you got it. So let's celebrate together. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting me. Hello, my loves. Welcome to The Purpose Show. So this is new. This is something that my podcast manager, Ashley, had the idea for. Because I was just feeling a little over podcasted, a little stale. And she was like, I have this idea. We should pull people from your community and bring them on with you and do like reverse style interviews where they get to ask you things. So it just kind of is like, it's not just like me sitting here talking to myself. It's me having a conversation, an important conversation with somebody that is in my community. So we have Stacy here with us today. Stacy Hudson. Is that how I say it?
Correct. Yes.
Cool. Stacy is the host of the Mother Plus podcast, which is for mompreneurs. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So the Mother Plus podcast was inspired by you, actually, Ali. I can't remember what episode, but I think the episode was called Start the Damn Podcast or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I literally started it maybe 2 days later. It's awesome. It's Mother Plus, as in Mother Plus artist, Mother Plus entrepreneur, Mother Plus athlete. And it was inspired by the fact that I was really caught up in my motherhood. I had a 1 and a 3-year-old, I think, at the time. And I felt like I had lost my identity. And that is something that you talk about in your courses as well as in your podcast, about how we are more than mothers, right? And so originally the podcast was going to be called More Than a Mother, but there was already a podcast called that. And I'm like, what if it's something more punchy? And it's like mother plus what? What is your fill in the blank? What are you, you know?
I love that. Everyone is always talking about how everything is oversaturated and their name is taken and all. That is just, it's such an opportunity to dive deeper And I think you came up with something better and punchier and more unique to you because that was taken. So it's like an opportunity to dive in and like be more unique, you know?
Yes, exactly. And so we have all of these women who are kind of case studies of like, look, I was lost too. And then I found myself in jewelry making, or I found myself in pottery. I found myself in yoga, in marathon running and whatnot, you know, comedian. We've had comedians on there. We've actually had quite a few people from your show that I met through startup school on the podcast. We had a copywriter, we have a creativity coach, and it's just been, it's been so much fun. It is seriously like a dream come true to be able to ask these women questions that I would never normally get the chance to ask them. So as you know.
That's so fun. That's the best part of podcasting, is like being able to temporarily get immersed in someone else's head and the way they think and the life they're living. It's so interesting. I feel like it's constantly expanding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Good for you. I'm proud of you for doing the thing, you know? Good job.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us our topic today and then you just dive right in however you want. Let's do this. Reverse style.
Yeah.
This is so weird.
I know. It is kind of weird. So I want to start out by just telling a little bit about my experience in finding you, and then we'll lead right into the questions. So first of all, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this and for having me on. This is such an honor and kind of surreal. Like, as creepy as this sounds, you're definitely on my vision board. And it's kind of like, what? It's all coming to fruition. So I followed you for...
That's special. This is a special day.
It is. Yeah. I have followed you for as long as I have been a mom, which is 5+ years. And I've grown with you and I've learned from you. And there's just something about you that puts me in the right headspace. And I can't quite put my finger on it, whether I'm listening to your podcast or doing your courses. I think it's because you're so damn unapologetic. Like, this is what keeps like going back in my head. Like, you do not apologize for who you are, what you're doing, you know, whether it's business or motherhood. And I think that that resonates with me because I am so apologetic. I am the kind of woman who is constantly saying sorry, and it's something I'm working on. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of like, you have this confidence, right? And I'm sure you didn't always have it, and you've grown, and I've seen you grown. But I think you're just not afraid what other people think. And I love that about you. So starting with our first question, if there's one word I can describe you, it's unapologetic or it's confidence. And you're not afraid to make a change or a shift in your life or your business. And you've talked about this before on the podcast. You know, it's okay to change your mind. What a crazy concept, right? So how can we, as women especially, develop the confidence to change our minds despite what others think?
I think for me, the biggest shift was realizing how ridiculous it is to assume that you won't. It's like there's a perceived weakness in a mind change in starting to do something, and then realizing once you're kind of immersed in it, this isn't actually feeling good. It seemed like a good idea and I felt really drawn to trying it, but now it just doesn't feel good. And for me, and Brian and I have talked together about this a lot, because there are so many people that would ask us like, what's the deal? You were doing this with the kids and now you're not. You were living here and now you're not. Both of us have some kind of deep need to, we need to be in something to know sometimes if it's right for us or not. Some things like I'll just know from thinking about it, like that doesn't resonate. I'm not pulled to that at all. But a lot of the time I need to try something. I'm really adventurous and spontaneous, and so is Brian. So as parents and as a family, like we've done a lot of very intuitive, spontaneous, fun, exciting things. And it's been really good and really cool, like meetings from other people or opportunities came from it. But then we were like, okay, like we're done here. We're not actually going to do this for 2 years. Like we thought we're going to just go ahead and move now or change what we're doing now. And there's always like how sad, they messed up kind of vibe. And it's just really strange because that's not how we see it. That's definitely not how I see myself in business. I'll try anything once. I feel like I just am not an overthinker. And I think it's one of my biggest gifts. And my friends that do struggle with overthinking, they don't do anything. They think about all of it and overthink it to death. But really, like, what if you just did it? You can change your mind. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Like, you don't want to be dumb and wasteful and like waste money making a move or doing something that would harm your family. But if it feels good and it continues to feel good while you're planning it, something is over there for you. Why would you assume that because something is somewhere for you, that that's going to be forever? It's silly. So recognizing the silliness in the idea that if you make a decision, it's supposed to be for good. And if it's not, it means you messed up. I feel like we don't, and we do this with friendships, we do this with relationships, like things are not supposed to be forever very often. So that just kind of puts all in perspective for me and makes it like, oh, well then that removes pressure and I can just be, and I can come back if I want to or move on if I want to.
I think it makes it harder because you are a public figure. So it's like anything you do, if you change your mind, like for example, homeschooling your kids, you were hell bent on that, that worked for your family, and then suddenly you didn't. And then people were up in arms like, wait, you're not a homeschooler anymore? What? You know?
I also think that, and I think this is truer and more often because of the public figure thing, but I think this is true for all of us with like family members and friends. I think that people decide if they like us or vibe with us or not based on how much we are similar to them. So when I was a homeschooler, that was an identity people put on me. And then they had that in themselves. So they were like, oh, good. Like she's like me. She gets me. Then when I wasn't, they were like, wait, what? Like, do I still like her? Do I still like it? Sends them into a spiral, which just shows that we're putting people on pedestals and in positions they don't need to be in. It's just, I don't see celebrities like that. I don't see people that I follow online like that at all. I think we need to have a healthier self perspective and then a healthier perspective of other people that we are learning from as well.
Sure. All right. So you actually seem to be going through a pretty big transition right now in your business. As somebody who follows you, I'm aware of all of this. And I feel like there's new courses, there's some new branding that not as new, but your newsletter, using advertisers on your podcast, do all of these changes, which you don't apologize for, feel scary to you to leave what you know and go into the unknown.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's very interesting to me as me being me and me being in the inside of my thoughts when you said like, you're not afraid of people think about you, because I am definitely. And I think about it a lot. And I was raised very much like it is important how you are perceived by other people. It is important to be good. And so because good is so relative, like, what does that even mean? Somebody could think I'm good while another person thinks I'm awful for the same choice. So there's a lot of anxiety. Like I struggle with social anxiety. I struggle trusting other women. I've had a lot of betrayal in my life. So I have all those thoughts and all those concerns. So for example, when I was like, okay, I definitely want to get, I want like a syndication partnership with a podcast company and I want to have ads, but I don't want to go and seek them out. I don't have time for that. I don't want my team spending their time on that. I want somebody else to come in and partner with me and make that happen for me. The first thought I had was my listeners are going to be irritated with me. And it goes back to the same thing that we just talked about with your other question. It's okay to change your mind. I have never had a desire to have sponsorships or ads on my podcast ever. I just did not want it. It would come into my lap and appear in front of me. And I was always like, gut reaction, no, I just don't want that. And I can see now with hindsight why I felt that way and how good it was for me. But then that changed. So why am I, because I've done something a certain way, why am I bound to do it that way forever? It doesn't make any sense. So again, it goes back to the same answer to the other question of like, I have to remind myself how silly it is for people to expect me to never change or to expect me to podcast the same way forever just because I came out the gate one way and then stayed there for, what is it, like 5 years with The Purpose Show specifically, that's never going to change. That's silly. That's them projecting what they want. Of course, they don't want ads. Ads can be really annoying. But you know what's not annoying is supporting someone who supported you through their content for 5+ years for no money. Like, so it's, if anything, the ads have pushed out the bottom feeders, the freebie seekers, the selfish participants, and have elevated people that are like, yes, well, listen, I clicked the link. I actually, this was really helpful. And I went and bought signed up for whatever the sponsor is that day, Green Chef or whatever. So it's serving its purpose. There's a reason that I felt pulled one way. I got to a point where I was just like, as a businesswoman evolving and growing, I was just like, I deserve to get paid for this. I'm going to. I'm not going to leave money sitting on the table. It's not smart. Right. But before that, I was like, I'm happy to leave that money on the table. I don't care. It didn't resonate. So you're going to evolve and change one way or another. You have to know that if I was to feel that way and then not do it because of what people would think, that's going to harvest resentment towards my audience. And eventually, it's just like a relationship. That's going to turn into bitterness. It's going to turn into me not wanting to show up, me not feeling inspired to create content, because why would you feel inspired to help people you resent? So I have a responsibility as a leader and as a creator to follow my gut. So do you see what I'm saying? Like, all of that outweighs people being like, oh, now she's doing ads. Like, get out. I don't care. This, I have a responsibility to keep my energy and my relationship towards my listeners pure. And if I'm making decisions out of fear that they might not like me anymore, that is just going to kill my business in the long game. And business is a long game. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And everything that you do in your business, at least from what you've taught, is based on feeling and what you're called to. So it wasn't necessarily a data or analytic decision. It was like, it did not feel good before and it does feel good now. It does feel right now.
Yeah. And I feel like that part is very much based in your personality. And you know, I love the Enneagram, and I know there's like the three quadrants on the Enneagram of like where you make decisions from. And I'm in the gut quadrant. So that, like, for me, I don't go to the head. I don't go to data. Like, people will bring it to me sometimes, but I, especially with ADHD, I pretty much shut down and I just don't retain that at all. But it is literally just like, I have never, ever, ever, even one time thought, I have a feeling like I should do this. Let me go check the stats. Like, I don't even know what to look at. And I don't care when people look for me and they bring it to me. It's like, that's nice. But like, it doesn't weigh in almost anything. Like, sometimes with money, like, you have to be smart and you have to like do certain things. But with my decisions about what I do in my business and what I do for women, it's always the gut, because it's natural for me. So if I feel something, I'm going to at least try it. Again, maybe I'll change my mind, but at least I know because I tried it. And same with creating now, like the new program. I was definitely like, I'm unhinged in that program. Like, I share so much that I have never shared anywhere that I will not ever share publicly. And it was so difficult and so, like, still difficult for me to get to that point, but so easy for me to share once I was there. I knew I needed to create a container of women that would be ready to receive those parts of my story and those parts of what I had to say and teach. And so I did it because I couldn't leave it alone. So if you can't leave something alone, you keep coming back to it, whether it's stopping ads on your show or bringing ads on your show or creating a program that might ruffle some feathers or be different than what you've done before. Shifting into, like, I'm shifting more into wanting to support moms that have businesses rather than like just moms. It's just what's resonating with me, and that's where I'm headed. Am I going to piss off a lot of people? Mm-hmm. But again, if I'm not making people upset, I don't really think I'm doing anything worth doing then.
All right, Allie, let's imagine for a moment that you lose all of your email list and your Instagram following tomorrow. Where would you start? What would you focus on? What would you do differently?
Such a good question. I feel like this question is going to sit with me all day, and I'm going to like think of things and be like,
you can re-record.
Yeah, re-record. Edit this in. Okay. So off the top of my head, I feel like, see this, I'm going to be really candid and honest and say, when you say that, I feel some relief. And that, yes, I know your face is perfect. This is what that tells me, because I've been doing a ton of like meditating and talking it out with Brian and friends and like thinking on this. Like, I have been just not feeling good in my business, not feeling like my audience is currently where I want it to be, not feeling like I have the right people, feeling super edited everything I say seems to just bring like rage and criticism. It's misaligned. And so when you say that, I immediately was like, oh, a fresh start. Bye. Like, not in like a negative or meaning, yeah, which is like, okay, well, like now I have an opportunity to just literally not even have them hear me anymore and just bring in the right people. So
you were so different, Allie. That's the thing. Like the audience that started with you 5, 6, whatever years ago is so different than now. So it makes sense.
It's been over a decade of sharing online and over 7 years of getting paid to share online. So that is, and it's not just like, oh, about 7 years, it's kind of a long time. I went through like 2 decades of metamorphosis in those 7 years. Like nobody that I've ever met has gone through such a change and so many losses and like new becomings and expired versions of themselves in that short amount of time. It's so good. But then I feel really good and I go online and I'm showing up as myself and people just like cannot handle it. So it's hard to not carry that because I love people. I love women. I love my audience. I love the women that I get to help. And it hurts me when they think they know me and then they project all of that onto me as if I've done something wrong. Like it's hurtful. So, but yeah, I felt relief. So that gives me something to journal on today, later today. But I think I would be like, okay, what lights me up? What is the main thing that I want people to understand? And that is that it just doesn't need to be so damn difficult. It's already hard enough. We don't need to be making it harder than it already is. And the women that I want to tell that to the most have a family and a dream at the same time, a business, a goal, something that they're passionate about, like you and what you're doing with Mother Plus. So yeah, I would speak directly to her. I would create content regularly. I would create the content in sync with my cycle. That is a business change that I made a couple years ago that I will never, ever, ever undo. There's a certain like 2-week period in my cycle that I need to be creating the content. It's when I'm magnetic. It's when I'm on. I'm in that right now. So I've been creating all morning without even, it's not even on my calendar. I just couldn't stop. That's the kind of content. I would not create content ever, ever, ever because I have to or I'm behind. Let it be silent. Let the algorithm punish me. It is way better for that to happen than for me to punish myself by creating content when I'm forcing it because that content sucks every time. So I would do it like that. And then I would create something that's free that gives people the very basic like Allie 101, like the what light bulb moment do I need to give people for them to be ready to learn from me? So I would probably do that via video instead of PDF. I have a lot of PDFs from over the years. I would ditch the PDF. Maybe there's a PDF that goes with a video, but I would do everything video. I realized that I'm magnetic on video and that needs to be the basis of my business. I would still start a podcast. I would still start with no ads. And I would be like a networker. Like I would get out there and make friends and invite them on my stuff, go on their stuff, like affiliate for each other. Like I would build more of a community because it's the fastest way to growth.
That's a great answer. Considering that you felt like you're going to think on it more later. Maybe there's more that'll come out of that, but that was awesome.
I think more later hit me because of the, like when you first asked and I felt that like, oh, thank God. Like, I was like, that's not good. Like, that needs a little, I need to go to Target and buy a new journal for all the journaling that needs to come.
Ooh, I love a fresh journal. I love a fresh journal.
Good question. Right. Thank you for asking.
You are so welcome. All right. One story you've always told or you've told that I've always remembered was you sitting on the floor, on the carpet with your kids with crunched Cheerios under your butt and the TV on so you could work while the kids played. Did you struggle with mom guilt during this period of time? And do you still struggle with it?
Yes, I did. I think that for me, it was heavier on the side of, I had a firm, firm, firm subconscious belief. Like this was so cemented and it only recently completely came, like I don't have this at all anymore. And it took a lot of work and I'm happy to walk everyone through that. But I had a firm belief that just by the fact of me working, just by the fact of me having a business, I am now obviously going to be a worse mother. I had the belief that if you have anything that's taking more of your energy, more of your attention, because you already have like being a person, taking care of yourself, the house, like your marriage, your friendships, your, you know, church things, anything on your calendar, anything is going to be taking you away from your kids. So if I'm adding something else and something big for money, shame on me. That was my belief. That's what I got from the school I went to. That's how I was raised there. So I had shame and guilt just by existing in that space, just by doing that. A big part of the reason that I sat on the floor with the kids was because I was trying to feel less guilty. Also, I couldn't afford childcare and I didn't have any other option. But I was like, well, that's okay. I'm glad because it's making me sit with them. But then I started realizing how effed up and toxic that is. And I also started to realize what a better mother I was becoming because I was fulfilled by doing something else. And then I was like, well, this doesn't make sense. It's very similar to like my spiritual journey. Well, that doesn't make sense for God. That's not what I was taught. That's not what I was taught. Why am I seeing this? Why is it feeling like this? Why? Like, it was all part of my becoming. I was literally night and day difference as a mom. I was so much better. I was just happier. I was mentally like more stable. I was more present. I just was so happy. And that affects you. Like that makes you a better everything. So then I think that made the guilt itself kind of have nowhere to be planted anymore. Like it uprooted it and it was just kind of sitting there as like a habitual thought, less of a rooted belief and more of just a habit to think that way. So then it was much easier to like work through it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. I felt the exact same way after I started my podcast. I felt for the first time like happy in my motherhood, mm-hmm. which felt so ironic, right? Because I was happy with my motherhood because I was doing something outside of it. And yeah, I mean, but I do still struggle with the guilt, you know, but I like the way you phrase that. It's a habit rather than rooted in your beliefs.
I think also like for both of us, because I mean, things will come up. I've missed baseball or one time I made a choice to miss baseball so that I could get something done that I was feeling really inspired to do. It wasn't a deadline. I didn't have to do it. And I made a choice to miss a baseball game. That was really, really hard. But I had this weird pull to do that. Like, I'm really feeling inspired. And I have been so uninspired lately to go and sit in the sun and watch my kid play ball that I watch 3 times a week. It just feels like I would only be doing that out of guilt. So I talked to Brian about it and he was like, what the hell? Stay home. What? He was like, Brian's always like, a man would never feel this way. Like a dad would never, ever. He's like, what you're saying doesn't even cross my friggin' mic. He is always still to this day, like, why are you like, I would never think that. In fact, I would be praised for making that choice. Sure. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And once I got over, well, they left. I was like having an actual panic attack and they left. He took the kids and I sat in silence and I created Unburdened. So what would have happened if I had like, it makes me want to cry. Like that course has made me so much money and made so much impact on women. Like that course is my bread and butter now. There was a reason I was feeling that pull and I needed a silent house. I literally just busted the whole thing out. So yeah. I still struggle with guilt. It still comes up, but I have things like that day that are like, it's conditioning, it's programming. It's not really founded in anything solid. So with you and your guilt, where is it coming from? Is it a healthy mom guilt where you're like, I do kind of feel like the pull to like, the kids kind of need me a little extra this week? Or are you just programmed? Because there are times where my guilt is like, no, this is more of a motherly nudge. Like, I think I need to take Bella to get a manicure and like some Starbucks today and let work pile up. Like you can feel it. Or is it programming and you're just used to thinking that way because you think you should?
absolutely programming for me. And it's a constant work in progress. And I think I've gotten better at it because I've had 5 years of experience now. But
yeah, it gets easier.
Like last weekend, I had been with the kids all week. They had the stomach bug. They gave me the stomach bug. I was home with them every day. We did nothing but sit on the couch. It was terrible. My kid didn't even want to watch TV because it made her sick. And my husband came home and he had done nothing wrong per se, but I lost it on him because I was like, I need a break. I need the whole day, morning till night. I'm not coming home until dinner time. I had never said anything like this. And I'm not saying the way I did it was the best way, but I'm really proud of myself for asking for it. And I did it. I took it. I left at 10 o'clock. I got myself a massage. I went gift certificate shopping. Mm. You know, with the gift certificates you never spend. I went grocery shopping. I went to Barnes & Noble and I leisurely came back to the house and I did not feel guilt about it. That was a huge win for me because I never could have done that.
Hold on to that feeling because how sad that it took all of that for you to get there.
Right.
That can and should be a regular thing. And you'll need less time when you're not so stretched to your freaking limit. Yeah. So yeah, it's you're right. It is almost always programming. Every rare once in a while, I'll just get kind of like a mom nudge. Yeah. Like, I think it's okay. This isn't detrimental. I'm not feeling super inspired. I'm feeling motivated to get some things done, but I just really feel like I need to go to this practice or we need a family dinner tonight, not a Brian dinner. We need a mom and dad, everybody dinner. And I'll follow that. And it's always right. Nothing major, but just like feels really good. But sometimes it feels really good to work in my business and I feel that pull. Like I need to knock out my Asana task list. I need to get ahead. I feel it. So do it. Like it is good. It has been only good for my kids to see me focused on something else. Nothing bad has come from me running my business and working in terms of my parenting, my kids.
I love that. All right. This is my favorite question. So let's talk type B women. That is a term. I mean, everybody knows that term, but you brought it to my attention through your podcast and you were the first person to make me feel good about this quote unquote negative quality of mine. I'm very, very type B, possibly ADHD. I'm not sure yet, but I've always felt guilt about it. Like there's something wrong with me. My name is Stacy. People always called me Spacey Stacy. I'm very scattered. I'm very unorganized. I'm not neat. So you taught me in your uncluttered home and through your podcast that it is a quality that I can work with rather than against. That's really how minimalism helped you. There was less to organize, less to clean up, less to think about. So how does a naturally unorganized slash scattered person like myself keep her shit together to run a business?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So this is like my current favorite thing to talk about. I think that this is going to be the next course I make is something like this because it is so needed and so important. And I feel like a lot of mothers that are also entrepreneurs kind of naturally have this like organized way about them. And it's just, oh, obviously I just make a schedule and I'll just do this every Tuesday. And I cannot do that. It's very intuitive. It's very gut-led. It's very inspiration-based. It's very like, and like we talked about the cycle thing, like there are weeks, every month where I'm just like, yeah, no, can't do any of it. So what do you do? How do things keep going? So for me, and this is always a work in progress, like if I do make a program about this, it will be one of the ones that is always getting added to because it's such a process. It is knowing that if I am not able to do something, it is just not coming out of me. It is not meant to be done that day, even if it's a deadline. Even if, like, I have had like contracts with HarperCollins that there was a deadline agreed on that I signed and got paid to complete. And I had to just be honest. And they're like, thank you for telling us. We'll push it. Like, just ask for what you need. Trust your gut and trust your process. The other thing I will say is kind of on the other end of the spectrum. there's this thing that I've been calling gentle discipline with myself, because I used to just really beat myself up, like you were saying. Like, why am I like this? I can't be a business owner. This is not what a CEO does. This is not what a mompreneur that has it together does. Like, I would just push myself in a very unkind, very like pressure heavy way. And now I practice like gentle discipline. So it's more like, okay, is this the kind of thing where I can push something, but I'm just afraid of losing money? I don't make decisions out of fear. So that means we're automatically not doing this today. And I'm going to trust that money loves me. Money is always flowing to me. Money is mine. Money is mine, whether I'm working or resting, and I'm going to just rest today. Or is it kind of like, well, I just need some gentle discipline. Like, it's not that it's not coming or flowing or I can't get into it. It's just that I'm having an ADHD day really bad. I'm scattered. I'm distracted. I'm sad. I'm struggling with something or whatever. Process it out. Call a friend. Go for a walk. I love journaling. So I'm a big journaler. Journal it out. Get all the thoughts out. And then tell myself, okay, it's 11 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. I'm going to just focus and work in 20-minute spurts for about hour and a half. So I'll get myself a coffee or make a matcha. I take care of myself. I get into an environment that feels really good. And then I will work for 20 minutes, 5 minutes off, 20 minutes on, 5 minutes off for the full hour and a half. And usually, girl, like, that's all I needed. The thing gets done. So does that make sense? Kind of the balance between like, what do I really need here? Sometimes I know that I need to push through and get something done. And sometimes I know that I'm only doing that because I don't want to disappoint someone else or someone on my team, or I'm afraid if I don't do this, I won't make money. That's all fear. No, we're not operating out of that. So I remind myself, like I said, money always comes no matter if I'm working or resting. I don't make decisions out of fear. I don't make decisions to people please anymore. I don't try to be a good girl and impress everyone on my team with how productive I am. So if it's coming from that place, it's a no. But if it's coming from like, no, I really do just want to get this thing done. I just can't get there. Well, what do I need to support myself to mentally get there? Make sense?
It does. I feel like there's also a lot of shame in not being organized in the way you're supposed to be, or not running a business in the way you're supposed to do it. And you can listen to somebody else's podcast or take somebody else's course who is a naturally organized person, and you try to follow it. And I've tried to do that, you know, where it's like a folder system, and you know, you've got all of these different categories for everything, and you have tiger time and a certain time every day. And I've tried. It does not work for me. And I feel like there is something wrong with me because it doesn't work for me. Yep. And again, you have taught me that you have to work what works for you. You know, you have to work with your brain rather than against it.
And I feel like, okay, some of the greatest minds in history have had ADHD. Like, we think differently. We do things that are very innovative and weird and off topic, and we get distracted. And that is our power. And so when we're like that, you do need that. That's why I call it gentle discipline. Sometimes you do kind of like, well, no, like I do need to get this done today. There's nothing that's like fear-based or like I'm pushing myself. I just need to support myself better to make this happen. But then there's also like, if I let myself go and I let my brain wander and I don't do this thing today and I just push it till, you know, another day, I know I'm going to get, especially with the cycle syncing, I know I'm going to get to a point where I'm like excited to knock my task list out. It's just not today. So whenever I remind myself, because my big thing is money fear. Well, if I don't work, I'm not earning money. That's been like a big root belief that I've always been working against since I started my business. So I'm like, okay, no, money comes all the time. No matter what I'm doing, money comes. So I know that. So I'm just going to take the afternoon and just go, and I'll like walk around Old Town Scottsdale or take myself to lunch and bring my laptop just in case something might hit. And it does. I get an idea for a new course. I get an idea for a new mastermind or something I want to do with women. And I wouldn't have gotten that if I forced myself to knock out the to-do list that I made, the due dates that I put on myself in my company. Like, you're in charge. Change the due dates. Like, do what you need to do. You're the money. You're the energy. Like, your energy is your currency. Respect it.
Allie, I have been following you since I became a mom, like I said, and I'm in awe of what you've been able to do with four kids. I have two, and it feels impossible. sometimes. So I often think of myself as Allie before she went viral, Allie before she topped the podcast charts, before she created her courses. I have all these hopes and dreams for myself, but go back and forth between complete confidence, like, yes, I got this, and complete fear, like, I'm going to pee my pants. Mm-hmm. What would you say to your old self when she doubted herself, when she was losing hope that this is not going to happen?
Now, what I would say to her as the person that I am currently to her is, listen, bitch, look alive. Let's understand something. You are a collection of feelings. You are literally scientific fact emitting a frequency with your thoughts, your attitude, your beliefs, the food you eat, the people you hang out with. Everything that is about you and around you creates your energetic frequency that can be measured. And that's energy. And with energy, like attracts like. So if you are living at a frequency of I can't, what do you think you are attracting to yourself? A lot of can't, a lot of struggle, a lot of difficulty. If I would tell her, let me give you the shortcut and save you literally years of torment and just tell you, in your mind, create a world that feels like everything you desire and live in that world and make a movie of all the desires that you want and play that when you're going to sleep at night. Turn the freaking TV off. You don't need to numb out anymore. Like, play that movie in your mind when you're going to sleep, when you're in the shower, when you're driving the kids to school, when you're doing the dishes, making dinner, making your coffee in the morning. Like, play that movie and live in that headspace. And it's going to like shortcut you to the top. And you're literally going to change that frequency you're putting out. That's going to serve your kids. That's going to serve your bank account. That's going to serve your family. That's going to serve the world. Because when good people have success and make good money, they do amazing things. So stop. I would just kind of slap her a little bit and be like, listen, stop living in the like current what's happening right now. It is so nothing. It is so small. Be in here, be in your mind and create like this oasis of dreams and desirable outcomes and goals and feel what it would feel like if it was already done. And then that's how you get there. You don't need to do anything. You need to be it. And then it naturally gets attracted to you. Like, it's so much easier than that version of me, let it be. It was so hard. It just doesn't need to be that hard.
Love it. I'm so inspired. I love it. I can't wait to replay this later or to listen to it later.
Yay.
Allie, so those were the six questions I had given, blanking on her name, but you know who.
Ashley.
And Ashley, thank you. I had extra questions in case you didn't like them. I could ask them. I could leave them out and be done here. It's up to you.
Ask them. Let's go.
Okay.
You want to? Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Do you fall into the comparison trap between you and other female entrepreneurs, other podcasters?
I do in one area. I feel like that has never really been my struggle ever. I have lots of others, but that one has just not been something that I know a lot of people talk about that, and it seems like it really burdens them mentally. And that's just not been my personal mental burden. But with one area, I struggle with comparing and envying other people and their audience and how they haven't gone through so much evolving to where their audience and their thing, everything has changed so much, because it is very hard to go through changes and then like learn to love yourself and accept yourself after a lifetime of being taught that you're not worthy and you're not enough and you're not good enough and you're never going to be. And then to overcome that and then show up online and see that thrown back at you, it brings you backward a lot. And I don't really know anyone. I'm sure they're there and I have come across them online, but I don't personally know any other women entrepreneurs that have gone through such extreme changes and evolving that I have. So their audiences are never really needed to change so drastically. And I envy that ease sometimes. And I compare myself like, well, if I would have just started later or maybe just not shared so much, like I will sometimes get down on myself about that in my unhealthy state of being. When I'm in my healthy state of being, I'm like, I'm vulnerable and open, and that is so freaking brave. It comes with the con of people knowing a lot about you and using it against you because they're unhealed. But I wouldn't, like, in my healthy state, I'm like, I wouldn't change that. Does that make sense? But in my like struggle days, I'm like, ugh, I wish I only spoke about business and no one like had all this ammo against me. Like I complain about that sometimes.
Do you purposely avoid following other women who maybe have a similar audience to you?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, on Instagram, I don't follow anybody. I don't take in any content on Instagram. I really enjoy TikTok as a user. I actually don't super enjoy it as a creator. I feel like the vibe is very different there, which is always funny to me. The platforms are very different in terms of like the audience. But so as a creator or as a consumer on TikTok, lots of like fun, like cleaning hacks and like, I don't know, like mom tips or manifestation tips and dating stuff for single moms, like things like that. But I don't know. I don't follow anybody or read any books or have anything to do with anything that is my niche. And I feel like I remember learning that lesson like years ago. It's too easy for me to compare or accident, like not compare like me to her, but the content and like, is she copying me? Am I copying her? Am I accidentally saying something like regurgitating? So I have no idea what's going on in my niche. I have someone on my team that kind of, if there's something big or like a big trending topic that I need to know about or something, she'll let me know. But I am a creator, not a consumer of my own niche.
Yes, that makes sense. If you didn't have the option to use social media, because that is something you've talked about in startup school, is that, you know, if social media doesn't feel good to you, don't use it, as crazy as that sounds,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you don't have to. Everyone thinks you have to.
So if you couldn't, how would you run your business and what tactics would you use to get in front of women?
When you're asking this question, do you feel that Pinterest is a social media platform? Does that count in your mind? Because to me, it's a search engine.
It does in my mind, but you go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's do one with and one without. Because okay. If I wasn't on like social media to me is like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, those things. I would focus on short form video content for things like Pinterest and to put on Google. Like I would focus on Google ads. I would focus on search engine optimization. I would invest in someone that knows, is very knowledgeable about that. Like there's companies you can hire, there's individuals you can hire, there's platforms you can use. Like Neil Patel has his company that does SEO. I would really invest in that. I wouldn't run Facebook ads. And also like when I'm saying this, like there's more relief there. That can be a good problem to have. And so if someone is listening, they're just like, yeah, I see what's happened to people online. I just don't want any of it. Don't do it. I would lean very heavy into SEO. And I would utilize Pinterest, but if that's social media, then yeah, I would just really rely on people finding me with keywords. I would also go so heavy into PR, press, visibility. Because if I don't want to do social media or I can't for some reason, but other people are and they want to deal with backlash, they want to deal with all of that, then let them. I'll borrow their platform and use that from them while giving them the best content they've ever had from another guest. Like I will show up energetically as the best guest that's ever been on that show and give my all in exchange for them sharing their platform with me and doing that heavy lifting and holding space on that for me.
That makes a lot of sense. What about grassroots efforts? What about anything in person? Do you have any ideas there?
Yeah. Yeah. And right after I finished answering, you started speaking to, I also thought of publishing, like self-publishing, getting a book out there using Amazon, like creating things in Canva, like journals and content and mini eBooks and things, and just putting myself out there without social media that way. And then yes, in person, my goal would be to become like wherever I live, to become like known there. So where I live in Phoenix, Scottsdale area. So there's a guy here named Rafi, and he is like on every billboard, every bus. He is every, like, I've met this man at a Suns game, and he just, like, everyone was yelling his name. Like, there is Devin Booker right there, but everyone's yelling, Rafi, like, we love him. Everybody knows him. He's recognizable with or without his beard. Like, he's got billboards both ways everywhere all the time. Like, he is famous here. I would want to be the Rafi for moms, for business. Like, I'd want to be everywhere. Not necessarily billboards, but just so well known and respected. So joining entrepreneur societies, speaking at events, going to hotels, asking them, like, what events do you have coming up that are hosted here? Finding the founder of those events and reaching out to them. Like, I would just be hitting the ground running. And I feel like if you can become the it person in your city, especially if you live in a bigger city like Phoenix, then from there, you can just keep going and branching out and hosting events there and hosting events, you know, and this, the next big city closest to you. So Vegas for me, or LA or San Diego, like, you can just... In person is not dead. It is very much alive. That's word of mouth. That's like, if you're in front of people, the energy is so much more magnetic than them scrolling past you on social media like they did a million other people that same week.
Absolutely. And I've been feeling more called to that. I don't think I would ever get off altogether, but doesn't that feel so good? We talked about that in a startup school call a month ago or so. And one woman was just like, I think I'm done.
I'm just can't do it. Yeah. And I go through phases like that. So right now, I'm in a place where, just since we're talking about this, I'm in a place where I am not taking in anything on social media, even about me or comments or any, like, I have fully given it to, my girl's name is Lakin. She's incredible social media manager. Love her. She handles all of my DMs and she tells me what I need to know. And sometimes I'll be like, I want to respond to this girl myself. Like, this is really great. And I really want to connect. And it helps me. Like, that kind of interaction really supports me. But I'm just not doing it. I literally create in my phone outside of the apps. And then I send everything to her. She schedules everything for me. I feel like I'm not doing it, but I'm still able to benefit from it. So, and like, you could do that with a VA for very little money. Like, it doesn't need to be expensive. But yeah, I'm the same as you. I've been feeling more pulled. Like, I really want to do a mastermind for women where we meet in person once at my home. Like, I've been just, I agree with you. Like, there's a pull to in person that I think we all need to follow. I've been talking to a lot of women entrepreneurs and they're all feeling the same way. So I think we're seeing a shift come. We're seeing a shift from the computer screen to in person and from short form content back to longer form.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I feel like so much of my self-worth is tied into social media, and that is not a place I want to be, right? Like, and it could be good or bad. Like, I just put a reel out that's got like, I think it's at 10,000 views, which is insane for me. I've never gotten that much. But
yeah, no, that's
why is it that that makes me so happy and that I keep checking it? Like,
that's what
why?
I mean.
I don't like that.
Good content, bad content depends on what people decide for you. Good day, bad day. I spent an hour and a half on this reel and it's going really bad. It's not getting anything. So great. Now I'm in a bad mood. Like, I don't want to, I mean, we're just giving everyone our power.
Yeah.
So if you can't keep that in check, like, yeah, it's like maybe you need a break. Or, I mean, for you with that, like, that's so good. Reframe it. Like, of course that's going well. Like, my content is amazing. It's about time people notice, and I'm good either way. I'm having a good day. I have a good day when my reels take off. I have a good day when my reels totally just fart out on the internet. Like, I'm good all the time, no matter, like, affirm yourself and speak to yourself. And then slowly, like, it will not affect you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is a business idea you would love to pursue, but don't have the time, or it is not the right time for it?
That's tough for me to answer because I feel like I just am shifting into it being the right time. So I'll just say this one. What we were just talking about, like, in person, I really want to do a mastermind with, like, women like you, like, women that are, like, passionate and want to do something, want to grow, and want to meet in person at least once. But I feel like, this is my own limits, it's expensive. People are like, oh, we're in a recession. We're not going to spend money on that. Or I feel like I'm projecting my own stuff, like my own worries, or like that would mean something about me if people don't see the value and want to like invest in that with me. And so I've been like not doing it. And I keep doing these other offers. And I'm like, oh, this is a really good idea. Let's do this. And it doesn't go like it normally would go. Like it doesn't normally, if I do something like online, it hits and it hits hard and people love it. And it hasn't been hitting as hard lately. And I know it's because the universe is like, no, like over here, do that, do something more like this. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but something more like this. Like I'm feeling very pulled to smaller groups, higher impact, higher ticket and smaller groups. But think about it. Like my whole business is based off of low ticket offers. That's scary. It's a scary shift. So that's where I've been sitting for like months. And I feel like I'm finally like, okay, maybe I'll just try it.
And you did, right? I mean, you had your in-person in your house.
I did. That was coaching. My baby step. Yeah, because it was like one day. But also like this is, I really appreciate your questions because I feel like this is such a vulnerable episode where I'm sharing so much that I've never thought to share. That also was like my fears around women and not trusting women and not wanting to be too close to women showed up in that offer because why did I only make it one day? Like I was like, okay, like don't get too close to me. Bye. Like I have a hard time with my female friendships and relationships. And so it was like at a distance, like, yes, come over. I loved those women so much. Like it would have been the best, the highlight of my career to work with them for like 3, 6, 12 months. Yeah. But I didn't even offer or upsell or anything because I'm just like, keep at a distance. Like I don't, if you stay around me too long, you might like hurt me.
Right.
It's so interesting how like business is never about business. It's always tied into all your other shit that needs healing.
Yeah.
But I did baby step it and I did try it and it went like gangbusters. It was the best day ever. Oh. But I'm like, why didn't I make it like 6 months? Like this, that's dumb.
I would die to be in that room one day.
One day. Yes. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. All right, Allie. This was fantastic. Where can our listeners find you?
Oh my God. I like never get... question on my own show. I'm dead. Okay. I'm sending everyone needs to go to Instagram. Everyone needs to go to TikTok. Everyone needs to go and spread love there. Like people are so unkind and things have been so, I feel like it's not just me. It's like collectively people have just been like this, like selective rage over what people say. And so mean and creators are leaving the internet. Like they're leaving social media. Like we need to support other women. We need to support small. We need to support the effort people are putting into social media. So follow me and Stacey there. And please like, don't just follow, like go on one of our posts and leave a kind comment. It goes such a long way.
I love that. Yes. Perfect. Thank you so much, Allie. This was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you and like the thought you put into your questions. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
Friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me and letting me be a part of your day. It means so much to me. If you would like more like behind the scenes view into my life, this lifestyle, regular like life hacks, tips, and more content that's really gonna create lightness in your social media feed, follow me on Instagram at Allie_that's_me, or you can search Allie Kazaza and it's the one with the blue check mark. If this episode or any episodes was helpful for you, please consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts. It is literally the lifeblood for a podcaster and it helps me so much. Thank you for tuning in. If you would like to learn more from me, how I can help you, how you can implement the things we talk about here on The Purpose Show, leaning more into making life simpler, better, and more abundant in the best ways, head to AllieKazaza.com. There are free downloads, online programs, and other resources to help you create the life you really want in a very deep dive style. I am always rooting for you, friend. I will see you next time. I'm Allie Kazaza, and this is The Purpose Show.